double again. I want to see a triple doink.
It might happen.
Doink.
Double doink.
Double doink.
Double doink.
Triple doink. Quadruple doink.
Doink.
A double doink right there.
Doink. Doink. A double doink.
Double doinker.
Dicker the kicker. Triple doink sit in. Doink, 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 doink.
Double doinks and sackles.
Teaching you how to football.
You're really teaching me how to football nowadays.
Am I?
I think I'm getting there.
There we go, man.
All right. Well, we are back for a week one recap, week two predictions. But first, we got some statistics. Oh, yeah. Let me say who we are. I'm Fernando.
I am Travis.
And I'm Jimmy G, the Puka stat boy.
Jimmy G, the Puka.
So, yeah, like I said, we got week one recap, week two predictions, but Jimmy G, the stat boy, is going to give us a little trivia here to start off the show.
This is just, like, interesting tidbits. So that Dallas-New York Giants game, did you guys watch it?
I watched it.
Yeah.
Watched it a little bit.
Watched a little bit. They lost 40-0.
That is true.
They were also out-sacked 7-0. The Giants.
Okay.
They also lost a turnover battle, 3-0. They had a field goal blocked and returned for a touchdown.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I remember.
And they had an interception returned for a touchdown.
Yeah, they did.
A pick six, if you will. No team has had that all five happen in one season.
And it happened in one game.
One game for the Giants.
That's a shame.
How's your fantasy team do this year?
This year, it's been 1 week.
It's 1 week.
This year? This year.
I tried a little. I tried some of my bold moves, and it fell flat in my face.
Oh, man. The fantasy gods are looking
kind of like now. Kind of hurt myself somehow.
It's okay. It's okay. It happens. It's only week one. There's plenty of weeks.
It's just week one.
We do.
So you had a question for us?
Well, another question here. That same game, how long did it take all the Giants wide receivers to amass 1 yard in game time?
Ooh, game time.
A long time.
Wide receiver, because this doesn't count their tight end. This doesn't count.
Yes. Wide receivers to surpass Kadarius Toney 1 yard on Thursday.
I'm trying to think of a wide. I mean, I remember running backs catch. Saquon caught it. What can I think of the tight end's name?
Waller.
Waller. I know Waller caught a bunch of them.
But we're not talking about Waller. We're talking about wide receivers.
I'm going to say halfway through the third quarter.
I'm going to say 18 minutes.
According to Twitter, 38 minutes it took.
38. I'm halfway through the third quarter.
Yeah, there you go.
Nailed it. Well done. That geez. Game was wow. awful. Anyway.
That was. I mean, it was awful for some.
I mean, I loved it.
Let's go over the first game of the year. I like to call it the Kadarius Toney game, as he was the player of the game for the Detroit Lions. That... One person, you know, when you lose your quarterback, you know, it's bad for the whole team. But a tight end, like, just showing how great Travis Kelce is. Like that was probably the worst game I've ever seen Patrick Mahomes play. I mean, I haven't watched all of his games, but that was a pretty, pretty terrible game.
So would you say do you both believe that if Travis Kelce plays that game, the Chiefs win?
Absolutely. I mean, they should have won because the Chiefs, with the one of the last drops by Kadarius Toney, would have put them in field goal range. And they could have just run the clock down, kicked the field goal, and let time expire. And they could have won, 23-21? You throw Kelce out there. I think this game is a two-score game.
Two-score game. Well, it's definitely...
About 10 points, I think the Chiefs can win this game.
It's definitely at least a two-score game at halftime, is what I'll give you right now. Is it a two-score game in the game? Maybe. But I do believe that Travis Kelce holds enough over that offense. They had, Noah Gray out there?
Yeah.
And the rookie out there as well. But it's just... It's amazing to watch an offense break down enough. And it didn't help that his receivers just couldn't catch. I saw a stat following the game that said that the Chiefs receivers had the most drops in the Patrick Mahomes era. And it was 4 drops. And I laughed out loud on that one, legitimately. Because I know Kadarius Toney had at least 4 drops himself. Sky Moore had another 2. at one point.
Sky Moore ran some patterns, but he never caught
anything. There were four more. Sky Moore was a great blocker in that game. I will say that all day. Doesn't get you any fantasy points for you guys out there with those on the roster. But there's no way that it was just four drops in that game. It was ridiculous. Those receivers couldn't do it. I mean, when he went high, they dropped it. They threw it to the other team as pick six by that point. When they went low, they still couldn't catch it. I mean, Patrick Mahomes put the ball where he needed to put it still.
Absolutely.
I still won't say it's the worst game by Patrick Mahomes. Statistically, maybe. It's up there. But he still put the ball where he needed to put it. Like, he still played as Patrick Mahomes that we expect. But missing Travis Kelce out there.
Oh,
are we talking about Travis Kelce that gutted out to play that game? Or, like, ideally, if Travis Kelce played?
No, you need to rest Travis Kelce. Even this week, we'll talk about it later on.
Yeah,
even this week, they're talking about Travis Kelce, like, practicing in limited participation right now. But you save the man's knee for the rest of the season.
Right, and then early on, you want him for the back end, especially the playoffs. I mean, you don't want to grind him to the ground when he's not 100% and make things worse. Like, if they held him out another week, I completely understand. It's too early in the season.
I mean, if the Chiefs started right now, if the Chiefs started 0-3, 0-4, 0-5, right? And they won't. The team's still too talented to be able to do it. But if they started 0-3, 0-4, 0-5, is that still a playoff team when Travis Kelce comes back in like 4 or 5 weeks?
Absolutely. I could see them just winning the rest of their games because that's what they do. Like, they could still, they might not, you know, get a first-round bye or, I mean, they can still easily win that division. I mean, the leaders of that division are the Raiders right now.
1-0.
So, yeah. Everyone else lost there. So, like, they...
I did not know that.
The talent-wise, they are... Like, yeah, they start off 0-3. They can still easily win that division. Because they own every team in that division. But going on to some Sunday games, which Sunday game do you want to start with?
I mean, I don't know.
Should I get my train wreck out of the way? All right, so Vikings-Bucks. This one was a frustrating game. First quarter and a half, Vikings defense looked like a completely different unit from last year. But the offense, while moving the ball, so many turnovers. It was just turnover, turnover, turnover. Especially the one on the goal line right before the half. Like, we drove down with like a minute to go. Again, it looked like last year. Like, Cousins all of a sudden can be clutching the 2-minute warning. Threw an interception. The ball was thrown behind the receiver. It was into traffic anyway. Probably shouldn't have made the throw. And then I think he had two picks and a lost fumble. And then the defense just... Baker Mayfield went off saying, like, he figured out the Vikings' tendencies in the second half. So that's why he was able to move the ball around, allegedly. I can see that, though, because that's what the Vikings do. They start off hot with the defense, and then it's like they do the same shit over and over, and it just comes back to backfire.
I mean, at the end of the day, Vikings came out flat in this entire game. I refuse to believe that Baker Mayfield saw what they were doing in the second half at this point and, like, adjusted to do anything. My biggest problem with the Vikings in this game is the run game.
Yeah,
I mean,
non-existent.
Your leading rusher is Madison with 11 carries and 34 yards by this point. You had Ty Chandler, I think his name is.
Yeah.
The young guy behind him. There was just no run to ever, like, stop the pass from happening. There was no threat of a run throughout this entire game. With that being said, giving up 20 points to the Bucks is not great, considering the Bucks' offense is not fantastic. The defense still needs a lot of work, but the offense needs to become twofold as opposed to just onefold.
Big time. Got to figure out a way to run the ball with. I mean, Kareem Hunt's still out there, Purple. Let's bring him in. I would love to see Kareem Hunt back there.
Wouldn't that be terrible?
I think that I've wanted him from, like, since he was, like, we got rid of, like, got rid of Dalvin, and he's been out there, and he's still waiting. Like, he might go to the Ravens, because the Ravens are going to need running backs.
Yeah, there's other teams that might need a player and stuff.
But again, nobody wants to pay these guys. Well, we talked about that team. Let's go to your team, your Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jacksonville Jaguars tried to lose this game at some point. Anthony Richardson did not look great through the entire game, but he does have some flashes of being a Justin Fields-esque running quarterback by that point.
Wait, is that a compliment? Wait.
I mean, he can run the ball. I mean, he went, what, 24-37, 223, a touchdown and interception for the passing side of it. He was their leading carrier. I mean, now granted, their running backs started going down during the game. Zach Moss still isn't healthy. Jonathan Taylor is still injured?
Allegedly. Very allegedly.
Oh, no, he's passed. He can come off the PUP list in week five.
But Anthony Richardson was their leading carrier for 10 carries, 40 yards, and a touchdown. When he runs the ball, he looks pretty decent. But it took the Jags. I mean, they had plenty of turnovers. I give props once again to Coach Dougie Fresh on this one for going back to Tank, even though two of the turnovers were caused by him. By that point, going back to him still in the goal line. The Jaguars ended up winning this game pretty handily, 31-21, but it was really close until the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But I still feel positive about Jags moving forward. Moving on to Jimmy G's game, the 49ers and the Steelers.
Is there much to talk about? I mean,
no.
Your defense was stellar. Brock Purdy looks like what he was last year.
Before his arm got... tendon
snap. Oh, yeah. Why are we talking about that?
Yeah.
Such a Debbie Downer.
Well, yeah. That game was good. I don't have no complaints. I love how so many people thought the Steelers would pull up the upset. But
I was one of them.
Yep.
I was also one of them.
Ha-ha. But, yeah, the Niners were really good. Like, Ayuk had a couple touchdowns. The CMC had a great run. I don't think Purdy was ever threatened, really. He got some couple sacks. Steelers defense still does some stuff, but I think, yeah, and the 49ers defense just battered Pickett all day. I think a whole bunch of injuries. Not much to talk about, but I'm pretty happy with how that outcome came. I thought about going to that game, but I'm sad I didn't go. But
I mean, one of the things I'd like to talk about with the Steelers on this point is that the defense is still there. They're still finding their identity on offense by this point. Najee Harris led the team with 6 carries. Jaylen Warren was out there, I think, for like 3 or 4 carries by that point. Losing Deontay Johnson early in the game actually didn't help. George Pickens looked pretty good. Allen Robinson. The return of the slack. Of Allen Robinson.
Maybe someone you want to pick up on the waiver wire.
Maybe if you could. But I think the Steelers are still going to be a good team moving forward. I don't think this is a testament of what the Steelers are going forward in the season. Still have them having not a losing record at the end of the season.
I mean, still after that? You think so?
Absolutely. Mike Tomlin does not have losing records as a head coach.
And once again, the 49ers are one of the better teams in the NFC by this point. What about the teams in football? So there's not a lot to talk about on that one, but don't count the Steelers out just yet, but we'll talk about that a little bit later.
And there were some weather games. Like, I'm looking at some of these games, like Bengals-Browns. Like, is the Browns defense that good?
No.
Or is it just the weather maybe, like, slowed it down? Is Joe Burrow, like, 100%? Like, there were a lot of stuff in that game. That game was just kind of sloppy.
They were rusty.
He who shall not be named actually had a terrible game still.
He did not look that great. He had a couple good rushes. I think he had a rushing touchdown in there. Another one I wanted to, like, pick at, Packers-Bears. So, are the Packers that good? Are the Bears that bad? Is it both? Like I don't know. Like, that game was not fun to watch.
So, hear me out on this one. Fun stat of the day, coming from me over here, is the first player to throw for 3 touchdowns this season is Jordan Love, actually. That's a true stat that exists on this planet. Jordan Love is the first person to throw for 3 touchdowns.
So he did it right before Tua threw
right
for his
before
third
Tua did it.
Okay. That's a hell of a stat.
It was a morning game as opposed to an afternoon game.
That wasn't morning. That was afternoon as well. They were both afternoon games.
They're afternoon games, yeah.
Well, he did it before Tua then.
Are you sure?
100%. 100%. 100%. He did it.
However. How are we going to fact check that?
I might have to.
Okay,
yeah,
okay, we'll give him a bit of that.
However, what I'm saying right now is that Jordan Love is not the truth yet, but he's not terrible. I mean, he had some good reads in the pocket. He took his time. He took the routes that he had going for him. He was down Christian Watson by this point. The biggest thing for this game that I see is everyone was so high on Justin Fields and everything like that. If you're a fantasy football player, as all we are, Justin Fields still got you a ton of points.
He threw for a touchdown.
I mean, he's still got you, what, 16 points, 15?
I mean, that's 14, a ton. You expect 20 to 25 out of your quarterback.
You do by this point. But however, it is the Justin Fields show out there, and they're going to live and die by him. Cole Kmet is nobody. Darnell Mooney was their leading receiver by this point. It wasn't even DJ Moore. DJ Moore had some great catches. The defense isn't what we thought they were going to be. I just think the Bears are that bad.
Yeah, it's Justin Fields can't. He's not a good quarterback. Like, that's it. He's good at running the ball. Like, if they. But then that's just going to get him injured. That's what happens with all the running quarterbacks. They just always get injured. And he finally, yeah, like the second half, I think the Bears defense did hold him, I mean, to 10 points at the half. But then the second half, it's like they just picked him apart. And they just, yeah, Aaron Jones went off in that second half. Almost lost my game. I thought there was going to be a comeback there. But my fantasy game, you know.
I saw this video of the third best wide receiver in the league, Chase Claypool.
Oh, yeah.
Just all his highlights, and it's just showing him not complete blocks or not do his blocks and just let everyone walk right by him. That was a great little video.
He might not be in the league much longer. He's kind of sucks.
A little bit. Next game on the docket, I think I'm seeing on your list right now, but this point is going to be the Eagles versus the Patriots.
That game surprised me a lot as far as how close it was. I mean, the Patriots had a shot to win it at the end, but Mac Jones is no Timmy Brady.
And, Timmy Brady was at that game.
He was. It was Tom Brady Day in New England.
Looked like he lost 20 pounds. He looked skinny.
He looks like he's not ready to take over for the Jets.
No. Yeah, he will not be the Jets quarterback. Oh, he could take
over for Jets, too.
But Jalen Hurts didn't put up those kind of stats. I mean, Patriots have a good defense. But I think there was a pick six early on for the Eagles. Like Patriots, like they don't make the mistakes. You know, it's like I go back to the Vikings game. You take away the mistakes, different outcome. Like I feel like the Patriots could have won this game, and I thought the Eagles would just have their way with them. I didn't think this would be a one score game at all.
No, I didn't either. I think I covered the spread on this one. But
yeah, I think it was four.
Mac Jones threw for 54 times in this game. It's a much different offense.
No way. Are you serious?
Yeah, 35 of 54, 316, three touchdowns and an interception. Still did not beat Jordan Love out for the first three touchdowns.
I don't think you want like Mac Jones throwing the ball like more than 30, 35 times in a game. You want to run the ball and, like, you know, he'll go up pass it, but 55 times, that usually means you're behind and you just have to pass it.
Well, they were.
Right. Well, not by a lot. It's not like they were, like, were they were leading at, or they were, it was a 2-point game at the half. And, like,
four attempts, 316 yards. Three touchdowns.
But the running game wasn't working. Zeke is your like leading rusher by this point with like seven rushes and 29 yards.
29 yards. Seven for
29. I mean, the Eagles do have a good interior line too. So
also,
like,
Zeke gave up the ball at one point as well.
He did.
But I mean, like at the end of the day, I think Mac Jones actually made the pass he had to make in that game on the fourth down conversion. The wide receiver could not get his foot down.
Second foot down.
On it. But I think Mac Jones actually is coming out to play this year.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. The highest scoring game of the week. This was a really fun game to watch. Dolphins at Chargers. Tua throwing up 400 yards and three touchdowns. All to Tyreek. That last one, like, you talk about getting the ball into tight windows. Like, that thing barely went over to the defender's, like, almost his head and shoulder. And Tyreek, he just makes it look easy. When he's back there,
turned around, he would have saw the ball. Maybe.
Yeah, that's all he had to do. It's like
he didn't really look
back. I don't know why you don't turn around. Like, you know, don't get me wrong. I could never play cornerback in the NFL at any point in my life. But, like, you turn around. Like, maybe Tyreek's not going to run away from you. You got no more real estate. You're near the back of the end zone. And he caught it, took the lead, and then Chargers could have still had the ball, but then the Dolphins defense decided to go on a sack party, sack tackle party, if you will.
Sackle party.
So my biggest thing with this one is the Chargers fired their offensive coordinator after they lost the lead from 27-0 last year to some team. I don't remember who they lost to.
It's like three.
My ultimate goal on this one is. You didn't fix the defense. Yeah. You have the playmakers on defense. You have the Joey. You have everybody else on there. I just don't know how you haven't fixed the defense yet. Because if you put up 34 points, it's still one of the highest scoring game, the highest scoring like you know teams this week in the NFL. You're right. I mean, I don't know why there's not a safety over Tyreek every single time he goes out there.
Yeah, I mean, you do have Waddle at the other end who can burn you as well. So it's like, do they just put both safeties back or?
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, you got
100%. You run like a cover two by that point. You put two safeties over the top of both of those receivers, and you just stop them from going off and like doing what they want to do. These receivers find pockets in the defense, in these zone defenses by this point, and they make yak after that.
Big time. And it's, I don't know, the Chargers are not going to be a good team. I mean, they got a great quarterback, great weapons, but when Staley, is that the coach's name?
Yep,
Brandon Staley.
He is not a good coach.
But they kept him, because he's a yes man, and that's what the Chargers do.
Yeah, no, they kept him. They definitely kept him. And bringing in the new offensive coordinator was supposed to help. But offensively it did help. And defense, you know, he's not going to be helping out the defense at all. One of the shocker games for me, I think we all kind of were surprised by this. The Rams, I mean, they kind of dominated the Seahawks, especially in the second half. Like, I did not, again, I know the Rams are healthy. Matthew Stafford's coming back, and he's healthy. But again, no Cooper Kupp. Like, we were all like, who the hell is he going to throw the ball to?
And some people.
Whatever. What's the guy's name?
Puka Nacua.
At Will and Puka Nacua.
Puka Nacua.
That was my name this week. Puka. Puka the Stat Boy.
All right. You just really want to get away from Puka. Your first place Jimmy G Raiders, right? Is that your second team?
Oh, every week is going to be a different one. You're starting to notice the theme.
Oh, maybe. That's what it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, the biggest stat that I see in this entire game is 23 unanswered points by the Rams in the second half. The game ends 30-13, 23 unanswered points. It's literally 13-7.
And it's in Seattle. That's what really, like, the more shocking part about it. Like, 12th man, I remember watching the end of that game. I had never seen that stadium so empty.
It was like 9.5 men around the field by that point.
I don't even think you got that. You might have.
Based off the way the defense was playing. I mean, like, even DK by that point was getting personal fouls.
Yeah.
And, like, mocking and doing stuff like that. So, I mean, this is kind of my question with you on this one, is that Geno Smith still went 16-26 for 112 yards and a touchdown, right? He didn't lose you the game, and that's kind of what the theme was last year. Geno's not going to lose you the game, but he's not going to win you the game either. They couldn't really get anything going by that point. I mean, DK had 3 receptions for the entire game. That's your leading receiver. The Seahawks need to figure out what they're doing on offense right now to be able to do this. If this game changes and the Seahawks have control of the ball and they have the lead, this game will change the next time these two teams play each other. I promise you. But for this game, the Rams looked good.
They did. They surprisingly good. That's what happens when your quarterback stays healthy, I guess. We're moving on. Sunday Night Football. Oh, man, this game was something else. What I remember about this especially, like the opening drive. I see you got this up here right now. They show the win probability. That opening drive. Look at how the Giants, it dips down a little bit where the Giants have like a 51% chance to win.
Remember, they didn't throw the ball. It was running.
Barkley, and like they went down the field. They got, I think it was first and goal, and then a fumbled snap, a sack, and it turned into like fourth and goal from like the 20-yard line. And that's when chaos started with the blocked field goal return for a touchdown. And from that moment on, it was all Cowboys. Like, it was Giants was like, all right, this could be an interesting game. And they just, I mean, Daniel Jones had like zero time to throw. Michael Parsons was constantly back there. That pass rush, that defense looked insane. Or maybe, this is one thing too, like all these quarterbacks who got paid in the offseason. Burrow, highest paid player of all time, shit the bed. Danny Dimes gets $40 million a year, shit the bed. Does the money go to your head? You just think you're invincible and then you go out there and that happens?
I don't think that's the case by this point. I truly believe that the Giants found themselves in a hole very quickly and had to change their game plan. I think their game plan was to run the ball first and do their stuff. And unfortunately for them, the Dallas Cowboys defense just came out and just owned them.
Dominated.
from that point on, you're playing catch up. You're putting Danny Dimes in a position where he doesn't want to be. You're putting Saquon in a position where, I mean, you're not really running the ball to control the clock anymore at this point. You're playing comeback. I mean, they were down, 26-0 at halftime? By that point, you don't. I mean, I'm surprised it took that long for everyone to take their starters out of the game. Danny Dimes played until like the last.
Yeah, about that. Do you think it was Danny Dimes that wanted to play in the fourth quarter, or the Daboll just wasn't really thinking leave him in there for that long?
Well, part of it I think was like first game of the year, you still want to get some reps in. Like at that point, it's almost just practice. Like, well, let's try this. I mean, whatever we can, so we got nothing to lose at this time. But again, especially Barkley, get him out of there because running backs have the highest probability of
especially
an injury.
Especially with that field.
Yeah.
Also, you're sitting at home. You don't want to get blown at home. You don't want to get shut out at home by this point, especially on 9/11.
It was 9-10. I mean, the game probably went into past midnight Eastern time.
Yes. I know, personally, I just wanted the Giants to maybe score 1 point to maybe shift our matchup. But maybe. That was my personal investment in it, but no.
Still wouldn't have mattered.
All right, and then the final game of the week, Monday Night Football. This one was fun to watch.
Did anything interesting happen in this game?
Oh, Karen Rodgers got through four plays before ending his season. And everyone's blaming the turf. They want to put in the natural grass in all the stadiums, and I get it. Like NFLPA is trying to get the NFL to do that. But Karen Rodgers posted something on Instagram saying he'll be back. But when he went down, and the Bills were moving the ball early, but Josh Allen is so, like, careless with the ball. He just chucks it up and like interceptions. I think he had four turnovers in all, one lost fumble, three interceptions. And the Jets defense is really good. Like they got a great defense. And to end the game with that punt return, I started laughing. I couldn't believe that they won that game with losing Karen and Zach Wilson.
Now you're telling me there wasn't a trip on that last play?
That looked a little leg whip. A little leg whip on that play.
Yeah, I didn't see anything.
The ESPN referee analyst like noted it and was kind of compared to Tirico calling the KC loss to the Lions an asterisk because Kelsey wasn't playing. And I was like, yeah.
No, it's a little bit different. There was definitely the leg whip at the end of this game on this one. But no, I think we talked about it a little bit earlier today. Josh Allen, the question that I have right now is, are the Bills forcing Josh Allen into positions where he's going to make these turnovers, or is Josh Allen doing it himself?
It's a good question. Like, you don't know that unless you're inside, you know, their facilities and like what they're game planning. But it seems like he's like careless with the deep balls like that. Like just like, well, it's like, fuck it, someone's down there, and he just throws it up.
But they're also pushing him outside of the pocket by this point to like force those throws.
But there are times. Well, and he. He's good at that, though, because he's mobile and he's got a great arm. So he likes going out and, like, chucking it deep. And it works sometimes. Like, we've seen him do it a bunch. Like, he's got a lot of confidence in that arm and his receivers. You got Diggs down there. But, like, there are certain plays. I forget what part of the game this was, but he went on a run, got the first down, and he tries to hurdle a guy, and he gets just slammed down.
It was, like, a second or third and eight, and he got 3 yards, and he decided to hurdle the line got crushed.
Yeah, like you're going to get knocked out of the game doing that. And I've heard someone said it last year, like even his offensive linemen have told him, like, look, just take what you got. Like save yourself for the next play. And last year, you know, he got dinged up from, I mean, that was like getting hit while he was throwing. But I don't know. I think he's just a little less careless. Like he's got to chill out, Josh Allen. Just chill out a little bit.
Just reckless, yeah.
I think at the end of the day, there's kind of this like double-edged sword when it comes down to Josh Allen. You have to let the man be able to make his plays.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like you also have to kind of control him and like pull him in.
They designed like quarterback options for him just to run the play.
But once again, like let's go back to like the hurdle play by this point. Like if he actually does end up hurdling this guy, there's no one left in the secondary to stop him, and he's going off.
I doubt he would land on his feet to be able to rake the
make yeah, the but once he dove forward, like he got like upended and went pretty much landed like head down. Like,
but if he does, though, I'm saying he does, then we're talking about a highlight play. We're talking about the Jets not winning this game or that. The biggest question, and this is the one I posed to both of you guys, and it's up here on the ESPN Monday Night, is how far can the Jets go Zach Wilson now?
I mean, last year, well, they were 7-4 at one point in like the last playoff team possibly, and then it all went down from there. I don't know. He does not look comfortable when he goes back to pass. Like, I don't want, you know, don't watch a lot of Jets games, but because this one was prime time, like, he just looks like so many dump offs. Like, he did finally let a few loose downfield. Oh, and great touchdown catch by Garrett Wilson. Holy cow! But he just, I don't. I mean, Jets aren't going anywhere this year with Wilson running the show.
So have you guys watched any of Hard Knocks?
No.
Not much, maybe a little bit. I found Zach Wilson's footage where he's playing in the preseason game. He's playing against the B's and the C's, and he looked very comfortable. He actually had Rodgers like encouraging him, kind of talking his earpiece, telling him what to do. He was completing passes, looked great. Again, against the B's and C's. It's not the first team.
Yeah.
And then this game, Rodgers is nowhere to be found to help him with this because he's in the locker room getting the MRI or the x-rays. And he's facing the first team. And this is a completely different situation than anything I see in Hard Knocks and stuff. And they need to think of a plan of him giving like high percentage completions to be able to complete and move the ball, lean on Breece Hall. And I think that's what they need to do for the rest of the season. Otherwise, this is going to get really, really scary. They're playing Dallas next week. That is going to be scary.
I mean, my biggest problem with Zach Wilson right now is that it's got to be like a truncated like playbook because there's certain plays that you're going to run with Aaron Rodgers that you can't run with Zach Wilson by this point because he's just not the same player. My biggest problem with Zach Wilson is that once again he's thrown in this position. I still think that when Zach Wilson was drafted, he should have just sat for like a year behind Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco was there for like 3 years by this point. Just should have just sat behind Joe Flacco, just like learned and watched and continued to develop. The guy's got the physical talent to do it, and you saw plays happen on Monday night where he was able to do it. My biggest issue with Zach Wilson right now is now he's thrust back in this position where like. You have this expectation that you're going to make the Super Bowl, and Zach Wilson's the guy who's going to make you there.
They should bring back Flacco. Maybe like a veteran.
They could bring back Flacco. So this is my other question.
Kaepernick's still out there.
To you guys.
He is not a mentor right now.
My biggest question to you guys by this point is, if you're the Jets, knowing that you may or may not get Aaron Rodgers back next year, because he's on a 2-year contract, right?
2-year contract. He says he'll be back. He says he'll be like back. On Instagram. He's like,
"It's only darkest before the storm."
Yeah.
But my biggest question right at this point is that you're not going to spend another draft pick to like go get a top tier quarterback.
Yeah.
There was talks of Stafford, but Stafford doesn't want to move to New York.
Well, even and then, why would like, the Rams you get rid of him? You don't have the draft capital by this point to get Stafford out there.
But they're already pot committed right now. They could like just buy, get another.
No, yeah. I mean Stafford's probably still worth like another second or first round pick. The biggest bummer to know if the Jets actually have a curse on them or not is my favorite stat that I learned over this Monday Night Football game. If Aaron Rodgers would have played 65% of snaps
in the game or the season,
this season,
yeah,
65% of snaps this season, the trade that the Jets gave him would have become a number one pick.
Oh, that's a shame. And so Green Bay's not getting that.
Green Bay's now getting a second only.
That's a shame.
Such a shame.
I don't know. The Jets will be something interesting to watch this season. That defense looks fantastic.
That is a Super Bowl
defense. And the running game looked good. I mean, Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook. But if you can only run the ball, like you talk about the Vikings not being able to run the ball and they can only pass, Jets are the complete opposite. They can only run the ball. And
we'll talk about it later, but yeah, Dallas game is scary.
Back to Dallas. All right, that'll wrap up the first half recap. We'll go over our game picks for the second half of Double Doinks and Sackles.
Teaching you football.
let's take a break and listen to some commercials.
Hey, Fernando.
Yes, Travis.
I've been actually looking. You've had such great recommendations. I've been looking for a new place to go out and actually.
I've been feeling really tight lately. I've been checking stats, making sure we check your bullshit and then mansplain up. Can you recommend a place I can just get a release?
Well, Jimmy the Stat Boy, I got the perfect place for you. It is Genuine Touch Massage Parlor in Houston, Texas. At Genuine Touch Massage, they will do all sorts of things for you for the right amount of money. You can get a rub and tug, you can get the happy baby pose where you'll see what that is, all for only $5,000. Very cheap. It'll be the greatest hour of your life. Once again, that is Genuine Touch Massage Parlor of Houston, Texas, 9603 Huntington Way Drive, Houston, Texas, 77099.
Gee, thanks, Fernando. I will do that.
Enjoy. And we're back. Second half of Double Doinks, we are going to go over our predictions for week number two. Starting off with Thursday night football, my Minnesota Vikings are in Philadelphia. 6-point favorites for the Eagles. I'm not going to be a homer on this one. I think the Eagles win and cover, no problem. Vikings need to get rid of those mistakes, turnovers. It could be a high-scoring game. Eagles do have a few people missing in their secondary, but we will see what happens.
Give me the Eagles to win this game, but not cover.
All right.
I think that it will be a high-scoring game, and I think that it's going to be a little bit closer than what people think it's going to be.
I have four words for you. It's prime time Kirk Cousins, Eagles win and cover. I would love to see a close game, but I don't think it'll happen.
Yeah, I think of the Monday night game last year in week two there, and that was a, I want to say, 24-7 final.
Quick tidbit, you know, in the quarterback show on Netflix, Kirk Cousins is highly aware of primetime Kirk Cousins and is really offended by that comment.
All right, maybe
he won that one game in Christmas. It's like, I could win, and I'm like, yeah.
We'll see. This could be a defining moment in his career, maybe. Sunday at morning games for us West Coast folk. Packers at Falcons. Green Bay, 1-point favorite in this game. Give me the Falcons to win this game. I think the Falcons can slow down that Packer offense. And if they can get their run game going, because that is their strength, just control the time of possession. Maybe it's like two or three Bijan touchdowns. I got the Falcons with the upset win at home.
I feel like the Falcons are still trying to prove something, and I think the Packers showed a lot, especially Jordan Love. He might get Christian Watson back. He already has Dobbs. He has a good offensive line. Give me the Packers to win by at least one point. Like, yeah, I don't see Atlanta's running offense being able to keep up with what the Packers can do on the over the air.
I don't give me the Falcons. It's in Atlanta. It's a hard stadium to play in. Their run game's going. Tyler Allgeier, if you didn't pick him up in your fantasy league, got to have as well right now. It seems like they're splitting it really well, and I think you get Cordarrelle Patterson back as the Joker. That's his position this year.
The Joker position?
It is the Joker position. So he gets to play all positions by this point.
It's a three-headed monster.
Give me the Falcons. At home.
All right. What do we got next? Raiders. The first place Raiders in the AFC West. Traveling.
Still don't believe it.
To Orchard Park, taking on the Bills. Bills are 9-point favorites in this game. I am going to say the Bills have a little bounce back. The Raiders, I think, beat a bad Broncos team. And the Bills, they got to have a sour taste in their mouth after that Monday night game. I think Josh Allen will clean it up a little bit. He'll probably still have a turnover or two, but not enough to lose this game. I think the Bills win easily.
That's a 9.5 spread. It's a lot, but the Bills will have that bounce back game against the Raiders. The Raiders, the 1-0 Raiders, I don't think they can keep up with this Bills team. They're going to get Jimmy G trying to keep up with this team? No. Give me the Bills and cover.
I'm with both you guys on this one. I think the Bills have a sour taste in their mouth. I think they'll come back for it. The 1-0 Raiders sounds a little bit worse than the 2-0 Raiders by this point, just because of the only winning team, the AFC West. Yeah, I don't know how that happens. But no, I think the Bills come out, they win this game, but 9.5 is a lot to cover. Give me the Raiders to cover this game. Because Josh Allen's going to throw another couple picks. I think he's like one of the highest turnover quarterbacks like in the past like year.
Probably. I think the last 2 or 3 years because he doesn't. He's going to try to get it in there.
Reminds me of the Nebraska quarterback. A little bit.
We have the Ravens at the Bengals. Both teams didn't look great on Sunday. Ravens barely beat the Texans. And then we have the Bengals that just looked terrible. Joe Burrow's health is a little questionable, but I'm going to take the Bengals. I don't feel good about this, but I am going to take the Bengals, and at 3.5-point spread, I'm going to say the Ravens will cover. It'll be close. I'm going to say a field goal game, Bengals at home.
I want the Bengals to win. I feel they should win, but that first game looked really, really poor. They look rusty. Burrow looks rusty. That line doesn't look good. He's pressured. He's getting sacked. He just can't do anything. And logic makes me pick the Ravens in this game. I don't think the Bengals need like a couple games to like work out their kinks. And right now, in a divisional game, yeah, give me the Ravens in this game.
Hold on, are you kink shaming the Bengals right now?
Sounded like it
a little bit.
Are you kink shaming the Bengals? Don't kink shame the Bengals, man. But no, I'm actually going to stick with Jimmy G on this one. And I think the Bengals are also one of those teams, much like the Chiefs, they could start 0-2 this year. They could start 0-3 this year. And they're still going to turn it on by the end of the season. They're going to find their rhythm eventually. I don't think they find their rhythm this week. They just looked so off last week. And the Ravens, it wasn't a close game at the end of the game. But for like three quarters, like the Ravens struggled against the Texans. But the Ravens found themselves, even without J.K. Dobbins. They did it last year without him. They did it the year before without him as well.
They've done it almost every year of their franchise's
history. Every single year without him. I think the Ravens will be able to do this. Give me the Ravens to win this game outright.
All right, next one is the Seahawks traveling to the Motor City, taking on the 1-0 Detroit Lions. Detroit 5-point favorites in this game. Now, I'm picking Seattle here, big underdog. But hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Seattle, they played like shit, and I just can't see a Pete Carroll led team going back to back weeks looking that way. And the Lions feel like they're gonna get a little high on themselves. They're gonna go in there like, hey, look at us, we're the best team in the division. I think Seattle goes in. Fixes their kinks. That's the word we're using today.
Can't shame the Seahawks too.
All man. The kinks tonight.
But I said they're gonna fix them. And Detroit, they're gonna. I'm always waiting for Detroit to Detroit themselves. And I think it's gonna happen in this game. Give me the Seahawks on the road, 5-point underdogs.
Oh, the Lions are gonna embrace all their kinks. They're gonna bite all the kneecaps. They're gonna do what they do. And yeah, I that Seattle team does not look well, and the Lions look really, really good. I feel like the Lions will win this game and cover. There's no way I see the Seahawks winning this game.
All right.
I'm with Fernando that I think the Lions will eventually Lions themselves. It's not going to be this week. I think Seattle is still kind of figuring out what they're doing, but the Lions are rolling, man. The Lions are rolling since last year. They're still just rolling on. They're trusting in the Dan Campbell effect. They're going to run through a wall for this dude. The Seahawks are out both of their starting tackles probably this week. I'm going to take the Lions in this game, but I will take the Seahawks to cover the 5 points.
I like it. Next up, the Bears.
Gross game.
At the Buccaneers. Bears looked pretty terrible week one. Buccaneers, a nice upset win in Minneapolis last week. I have no faith in the Bears at all. It's hard to, and you know, Buccaneers are going to ride high. Like, offense is decent. They got good receivers. Their running game was a little, like, they were able to move the ball last week. I think the Bucs are going to win, and they will cover that 2.5-point spread fairly easily.
You're picking the Bucs as a 2-0 winning?
2-0 Buccaneers.
Oh, it's gross, but the Bucs seem to have it more together than the Bears. definitely will have Chase Claypool and the Bears just miss a whole bunch of blocks. Baker doing up. Baker Mayfield. What?
Yeah, he figured it out in the second half, man.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Give me the Bucs to win and cover. This is like, this is a, the Bears are not going to be able to do this.
Listen, I don't want to talk much about this game too much, but I mean, Justin Fields will have Justin Fields moments in this game. The receivers might be able to get on board. The Bucs didn't play a great Panthers team last week.
You mean Vikings?
Vikings team last week. But they did enough to stop that offense from happening.
Bend, don't break. That's what their defense did.
And you know what? Baker Mayfield did the same thing. I don't believe in the Bears. I don't believe in the Bucs. But I believe in the Bucs over the Bears.
Oh, it makes sense. I'm with you, brah.
Makes scientific sense.
All right, we got this little nugget. The Chiefs at Jaguars. 3.5-point favorites go the way of the Chiefs. Now, we're making this pick before we know if Travis Kelce is going to play. And that would make it a lot easier for me. I'm just going to go ahead and pick the Chiefs. It's a 3.5-point spread. I think Jacksonville will keep it close. I'll pick Jacksonville to cover. Like, I'm thinking a field goal game. But I gotta go with the Chiefs. The 0-2 Chiefs. Has Mahomes ever been 0-2? I just can't see it happening. Give me the Chiefs on the road. Hopefully the receivers catch the ball.
Give me 0-2 Chiefs. No offense to the Lions or to the Jaguars, but those two teams are pretty similar right now in their ability to probably beat the Chiefs. Even with Kelce playing, he would probably be limited. And the rest of the receiving corps doesn't do anything. I feel like the Jaguars will be able to do just enough to win this game. I don't see the Chiefs having the same problems they did against the Lions. Give me the Jaguars. Upset special. I think I made Travis pass out.
You're right over there?
No, I'm not.
Is it because I compared the Lions and the Jaguars together?
No, it's actually a solid comparison, I think. I think both teams are young enough. I think they have head coaches that inspire enough out of their players. My hardest part is right now seeing the Chiefs as being mortal.
Being what?
Mortal. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The Chiefs seem like this, like, unattainable, like, Atlas-like figure of Titans that just bear the weight of the NFL on their shoulders. And no matter what happens, I think I sent the TikTok to you guys of, like, how they order drinks. And the Chiefs are like, yeah, just run around and figure out what happens and just they'll take whatever you give me. Because it's going to work out in the end. Before we started this segment of the podcast, I had the Chiefs winning this game, but the Jaguars covering.
And silence. We had like a crickets.
We're gonna insert a Jeopardy thing.
I gotta
crickets.
Believe.
Make it crickets.
What, crickets?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
crickets.
If I'm believing this year,
crickets.
I'm believing the Jaguars. I don't care if Travis Kelce plays. I don't think crap. So I'm going to tell you right now, as a Jaguars fan, like, I don't want Travis Kelce to play this game. As a person that has Travis Kelce in fantasy football, I also don't want him to play right now because I want him for the rest of the
season. He's still going to be limited.
Outside of all of that, I just think it's a bad idea if Travis Kelce plays this game. Whether he does or not, Travis Kelce gives you at least a touchdown by this point. I got to believe in the Jaguars. I got to believe in Duval. I'm changing my pick. From the Chiefs not covering, I'm going to take the Jags winning this game outright because Duval, baby, bring it home at the bank. Let's go for it. Lock it in.
I think we made some dogs bark in the background.
All right. Well, we are going to move on to the afternoon games. We got 4 afternoon games on Sunday. First one up.
Wait. Colts Texans.
Oh, yeah. Colts Texans.
You don't want to forget that Colts-Texans game.
I wanted to skip over the Colts and Texans so bad that I was ready to move on. I'm going to keep it simple. Indy's a 1-point favorite. I'm taking the Texans. to win this game. That's it. I think it's going to be low scoring. It's going to be a boring game, uninteresting game. Texans.
Give me Anthony Richardson. I feel like it's a coin flip. I'm losing the Colts in this game.
Nico Collins is going to go for like a touchdown, like five grabs. Give me the Texans in this game.
All right.
Now we are moving on to the afternoon games, where we got four in the afternoon, starting off with the 49ers at L.A. I mean, it'll be a home game for them. They're going to be all Niner fans there. Niners are 8-point favorites. Now, look, the Rams looked really good in week one. The Niners looked even better in week one. I'm going to take the Niners to win this game. However, the Rams will cover. I think it'll be close. Upset maybe, but I'm not going to say that now. I'm going to say Niners still win. It'll be closer than 8 points, though.
Rivalry games are always close. I just feel like these two teams are on polar opposite sides of the spectrum. Give me the Niners to cover. They'll win by 10 at least. They just beat the Steelers by 23 on the road as well. Give me the Niners to cover.
Yeah, so I hear what you're saying. The Rams beat the Niners once last season?
Beat them
twice last season?
I let Jimmy G will check the stats.
And if I'm correct, the Rams were a worse team last season than they are right now.
I would say so. I mean, they have Stafford back there, and they didn't last year.
Okay. Ultimately, the day it comes down to division games. The Rams might only win three games this season. It might be the first game to beat against Seattle. And it might be the next two that play against the 49ers. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to take the Rams in this game to at least cover. I'm going to take the 49ers to win it. I mean, the Niners look really good. Brock Purdy looked really good last week. CMC looked good last week. Give me the Niners to win this game, but the Rams are going to keep it close. It's going to be like a last-second touchdown, last-second field goal. It's going to be something, but it's going to be close enough. 8 points is a lot for this game, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Last year, the Rams lost to the Niners at home 31-14, and the Niners beat them at home 24-9.
Up next, another game that's a little...
Game of the week.
We got Giants at Cardinals. Giants, who got blown out 40-0, are 5.5-point favorites. Look, I have no... Excuse me. I have no faith in the Cardinals whatsoever. They are the worst team in the league. Giants will win this game. They will cover this game. They'll look better than they did on Sunday night.
This final score will be 3-0 Giants. They will win but not cover. Can they just delete this game off the schedule? Because holy crap.
Give me the Giants in this game, and I think it's going to be an absolute massacre. I think the Giants are coming out for blood after week one. They got embarrassed. This is the worst shutout loss since 1999, I think is the stat on that one.
How fast will those Giants receivers get 1 yard in this game?
Real quick.
Okay.
Real quick. They're going to come out passing. Daniel Jones probably rushed for like 50 yards in this game. It's not even going to be close. The Giants are going to take this game.
Agreed.
All day.
All right, we got another New York team on the road. The Jets traveling to the Cowboys. Cowboys are 9-point favorites. Now, I'm going to obviously take the Cowboys to win this game, but I do think the Jets defense will keep it under 9. So I'm going to pick the Jets to cover this one. They're going to need a stellar performance. There was a game a few years back where it was Cowboys at Jets, and the Cowboys were huge favorites. Jets somehow came out and won. It was a big upset. I can see, Cowboys overlooking this a little bit. I like the spread on the Jets side, but I'm going to take the Cowboys still to win this game. Defensive battle. Dak Prescott will throw a couple picks in this game.
I just don't know how the Jets are going to keep up with the points the Cowboys could probably score. True, the Jets are going to, defense is going to hold them down more than the Giants did. Any team could have done that, do better than what the Giants did. But I just don't see Zach Wilson keeping up. Man, my team is going to suffer with this, with Garrett Wilson. But I think the Cowboys are going to win by that 9 spread. I feel like I don't think the Jets have enough offense to keep up.
This is the one I've been kind of on the fence about, but it's just about the spread, because I think the Cowboys are going to win this game. It's not even a question. It's just whether or not that defense of week one shows up in week two. And they can. My biggest question I've had, and we talked about this earlier, is can the Dallas offense match up with the Jets defense? I'm going to stick with my original pick on this one. I don't think the Cowboys offense can keep up with the Jets defense. If this game does go over 9 points, it's because of the Jets defense and the special teams once again happening.
100%.
But I think that if this game stays close enough, I think the Jets will keep it closer than 9 points. So give me the Cowboys winning, but the Jets covering that 9 point spread.
All right, another lackluster game coming up next. We have the Commies traveling to the Mile High City, taking on the Broncos. 3.5-point favorites for Denver.
Why?
I don't know. Well, the Commies didn't look great against the Cardinals at home last week. Yeah, so
the Broncos didn't look great against the Raiders at home last week.
I get it. I mean, with that, I'm going to go with, the Broncos, that game just felt so much like last year. Like the how disappointing the Broncos are and how much they're paying Russell Wilson. God. I'm going to take the Commies with the upset win on the road. 2-0 Commies.
As I Google Russell Wilson's salary just to see how long he's actually signed with the Broncos. Broncos look like last year's Broncos. They're not any better with Sean Payton right now. And until they're proven otherwise, they're not going to do much. And the Commies have Eric Bieniemy as their offensive coordinator. They're going to do something. Give me the Commies to win this game.
All right, so I guess I'm out my bad. I'm going to take the Broncos on this one. I think it's at home. I think the Commies are frisky. I think they'll be frisky this year. But I think the Broncos have something to prove. Sean Payton probably told Russell Wilson to stop even giving high fives to babies at this point, as opposed to just kissing them on the outside. I just don't see the Broncos going 0-2, especially starting at home against the Commies. I think it's going to be a close game. It's 3.5-point spread. I'm going to take the Commies to cover the 3.5 spread. I think it's going to be a field goal to win this game. But give me the Broncos to win.
By the way, Broncos will ride with Russell Wilson until 2028.
That's so
he's played 50 million base that year at age 40.
Gross. Gross. Sunday night football. The Miami Dolphins coming off a nice win. Going to Foxborough, taking on the Patriots. Dolphins 3-point favorites on the road. That Patriots defense is stellar. However, I like Miami to win and cover that spread. Miami's, I think they're going to be legit. If Tua stays healthy, that's always the big thing. No more concussions for Tua. I think the Dolphins will win this game, and it'll be by more than 3 points. It'll be a close divisional game, but Dolphins, baby.
Probably neutral. This is probably neutral site's probably Dolphins by 6. Yeah. Give me the Dolphins to win this game. I do not. Will Mac Jones throw 400 yards in this game just to keep up?
Maybe. Yeah, he'll have to. But
he'll have to, yeah.
He can't.
Yeah, give me the Dolphins to win and cover. They have too many weapons for the Patriots to handle this team.
Patriots are going to show up for this game, man. Bill Belichick's actually going to have the defense ready to go. Bourne looked really good recently as well last week. But at the same time, I agree with you. As long as Tua stays healthy, I think that the Dolphins are going to be a very hard team to beat, man. I mean, Tyreek promised over 2,000 yards this season.
He's on his way.
I believe it. Give me the Dolphins to win and cover this game.
All right, Monday Night Football, we got a doubleheader.
Doubleheader.
First game, Saints at Panthers. Saints coming off a close win to the Titans. Panthers didn't look that great versus the Falcons. I'm gonna go with the Saints. I think this another defensive struggle. Both have good defenses. Derek Carr didn't look great in that win. I think the Saints just have a little bit more, weapons than the Panthers do right now. Give me the Saints on the road in the divisional matchup.
Yeah, give me the Saints in this game to win and cover. Panthers really didn't show much, I felt, in their game against the Falcons. And the Saints have a few more weapons, and I think they're going to handle the Panthers pretty easily in this game.
You know, I mean, I'm a big Saints believer this year. I think I said it when we first started this podcast, everything like that. But at home, under the highlights, let's see what Derek Carr can do. Give me the Panthers to actually win and cover this game. I think the defense is going to be good. I think that Bryce is going to start finding his way. Hayden Hurst looked fantastic last week.
He did.
Give me the Panthers to actually cover this game.
Final game on the slate, the second game of the Monday night doubleheader. We have the Browns at the Steelers. Browns defense, again, they were playing in the rain, so that kind of helped them out a little bit. They looked great against Burrow and company. And the Steelers all around looked pretty, pretty terrible. Cleveland's 2.5-point favorites. I'm going to keep riding this Cleveland team. I think they are going to go into Pittsburgh and win this game. I think there's going to be there'll be a couple fights that break out in this game. It always seems to happen for Browns Steelers. But let's go, Cleveland. You can do this.
This game starts 1 hour after the first game, by the way. These are concurrent games, eventually. Yeah, give me the Browns in this game. Browns look pretty good. I feel like they handled the Bengals really well, even though the Bengals were rusty. And those Steelers, again, were not great, and they're losing a couple key players. Yeah, give me the Browns to win to cover this game.
Did you guys get massages at the same place?
I wish.
This week? I mean, I'm just wondering. I don't know why you guys are so high on he who shall not be named in this podcast, as well as the Browns. The Browns looked good against the Cincinnati team that just wasn't in sync. That's it. The Steelers will find their way in this game. They're going to find their rushing game going back. There's no way the Steelers lose this game at home Monday Night Football. There's just no way. Give me the Steelers all day long. Give me George Pickens with, I don't know, 2 touchdowns. And give me, on a sneaky pick, Jalen Warren with a touchdown on this one.
Ooh. The more preferred running back versus Najee.
Oh, Najee. He looks like shit. All right. I think that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode of Double Doinks and Sackles.
Teaching you how to football.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, all 6.5 of you. We'll be back next week for our picks. Until now, signing off, my name is Fernando.
I'm Jimmy G, the Puka Boy.
And I'm Travis.
Don't get hurt.
Stay flashy.
Is that your new sign-off, stay flashy?
It just came to me.
It is now. It is now.
Stay flashy, people.
That is terrible. Until next week, enjoy football.
Stay flashy.
Enjoy yourselves. Stay safe. And have a great weekend.